Watching our president stumble through America's foreign policy is like watching a blind St. Bernard trotting through a china shop. He seems genuinely eager for quiet progress, his tail wagging happily forsooth, but the inventory is crashing down around him. Remember our post-Cold War rapport with Russia? Last year, Obama lectured Mitt Romney about calling Russia our geopolitical enemy, snidely telling Romney during one of the presidential debates, quote, "The 1980s, they're calling to ask for their foreign policy back because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years," unquote. Well, apparently he managed to restart the Cold War because last week Russia gave political asylum to Edward Snowden in defiance of hysterical U.S. pleading. Obama responded by angrily canceling an upcoming meeting with Vladimir Putin, and Putin answered with international diplomacy's version of the middle finger by calling George Bush and wishing him well. Ouch. So much for that reset button Hillary gave them. The president's strategy in the Middle East is also in flames. After stabbing longtime ally Hosni Mubarak of Egypt in the back, he backed a bunch of Muslim Brotherhood goons to replace him, and the citizens of Egypt were so disgusted with that idea, they decided to have a second revolution. Next door in Benghazi, Libya, where the president spent God knows how many billions of dollars backing some other goons, those goons turned around, attacked our consulate, and murdered our ambassador. When it comes to Islamist revolutionaries, Obama keeps betting the house. Trouble is, it's our house. Meanwhile, Israel, our biggest ally in the Middle East and the only functioning democracy in the area, is so disgusted with Obama and his various blunders, ignorant comments about Palestinians, and endless waffling about Iran's accelerating efforts to build nuclear bombs, they can hardly hold a civil conversation with him. Watching Barack Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu share a news conference is like watching two method actors trying to express thinly veiled contempt without words. Keep in mind, Iran has made it clear they want those nuclear bombs for the specific purpose of dropping them on Israel. It's understandable why Israel might resent that idea. After 5 years of watching Barack Obama insult and betray allies while kowtowing to and embracing Muslim terrorists and communist despots, maybe it's time to revisit the Founding Fathers' reasoning for the words of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the United States Constitution. Quote, "No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president," unquote. So you either have to be living in the colonies in 1787 or you have to be a natural-born citizen. Everything hinges on the definition of natural-born citizen. Fortunately, for the sake of insight into the founders' reasoning, we don't have to guess what was on their minds. They were worried that the top executive position in the government, the titular head of the fledgling United States of America, might be particularly damaging if that person had divided loyalties. They wanted that position specifically and uniquely to be held by someone not beholden to foreign powers. Here's what John Jay said to George Washington in 1787, one founding father to another, quote, "Permit me to hint whether it would not be wise and seasonable to provide a strong check to the admission of foreigners into the administration of our national government, and to declare expressly that the command in chief of the American army shall not be given to, nor devolve on, any but a natural-born citizen," unquote. There you have it. The authors of the Constitution wished to avoid foreign influence in the presidency. That's why these deeply intelligent wordsmiths used the phrase natural-born citizen rather than native-born citizen or simply citizen. Those are fine if you want to be in Congress or run for dog catcher, but not if you plan to be commander-in-chief. The framers wanted both parents of the president to be U.S. citizens. They didn't want naturalized citizens to qualify, they didn't want native-born citizens who might have foreign parents, and they didn't even want people born in other countries of citizens who didn't reside here. According to the Constitution of the United States of America, according to the clear and logical intent of the framers, Barack Obama is ineligible for the office he occupies. Some people think that issue was settled. It wasn't. Every time someone takes it to court, they throw it out for lack of standing. So much for this being a constitutional republic. What's more, Obama proves with every misguided foreign policy foray that his divided loyalties, Kenyan father, dual citizenship, Indonesian Muslim stepfather and upbringing, that the framers were exactly right. His divided loyalties are blinding him, and his blindness is shattering our foreign policy. That's today's dose of common sense.